You are Locked On Jets, your daily New York Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to the Locked On Jets podcast. It is Friday, December 14th, 2018. I'm your host, John B. from GangreneNation.com. As always, if you like this show, subscribe to it on iTunes or Spotify. And please leave the show a good review on iTunes if you do enjoy it. Well, the Jets kick off a Saturday slate of NFL games tomorrow. Now that the college football season's over, the NFL puts in a few Saturday games. You know, usually I have a big rant each year about how the NFL should do more Saturday games, but they're actually scheduling a few this week and next week, so I'm relatively satisfied. You know, back years and years ago, over a decade ago, the NFL gave you a full slate of Saturday games in December. Really, usually pretty good after the college football season ends. So the league's doing that this year. Doubleheader this week. I think there's a doubleheader next week. So the league is at least giving us some Saturday games. You know, usually I complain there's too many Thursday night football games. But hey, you know what? We finally got a good Thursday night football game. Who knew Thursday night football could be good last night? As there might be a new team to beat in the AFC if you look at the way the Chargers are playing recently. But our focus is on a football game, probably a lesser football game. It's the Jets and the Texans Saturday afternoon at MetLife Stadium. So we're going to preview the game today, give you a key player, key matchup, and a key to victory on both sides of the football. Now, on offense, my key player is going to be the rookie Trenton Cannon, who is a guy who's started to get more action for the Jets, in part because of injuries in the backfield, and this week I would expect Cannon will play a pretty big role in the offense. He kind of took on a bigger role last week as well. Isaiah Crowell did not get much action. Crowell has been banged up through the season, and he has been ruled out of this game for the Jets on Saturday, along with Quincy Enunwa, which is going to make the challenge the Jets face that much bigger on offense, because they're missing some guys who, you know, while not great players, are probably among the best skill players the Jets have. I mean, in a good offense, would these guys be go-to guys? Probably not. In fact, I would say no. Let's eliminate the probably out of that equation. These are not guys who would be go-to players on the best offenses in the league, but they are the Jets' best weapons, or at least the Jets' best remaining weapons with Bilal Powell out. So that means other guys will have to step up. Cannon will be in that mix. I mean, the Jets are going to just have to look to manufacture some offense any way they can. One thing I'd like to see them go back to is, if you remember a couple months ago against the Minnesota Vikings, Cannon ran a really nice wheel route. The Jets hit him, and I'm not sure the Jets have ever gone back to that play since the Minnesota game. So that might be a way to look at it. I think the Jets will probably try and get the ball to Cannon in space. He is one of the fastest players on the team. Now, speed does not always translate to explosiveness when we're talking about an offensive player. I can't tell you that Cannon's going to go out there and dominate this game. I can't tell you he's going to go out there and be a playmaker, but he certainly is fast. I don't think there's any question about that. That's what got a lot of people excited about him during training camp, and unfortunately, it hasn't really translated yet. He still is a seventh-round rookie, so there is still some time for him. But it shows you how much these training camp practices really matter. And it should be obvious, because in training camp you don't really play. It's not really full contact. So there's an advantage to the offensive players, because defenses usually aren't really tackling. So if you take tackling out of the equation, the offense is going to look better. Jets need Cannon to produce in this game. I think that he'll have to have a healthy amount of production. I think he's going to have to hit a big play or two for the Jets to have a chance in this game. So he's my key player on offense. On defense, I was going to go with Avery Williamson. I think I'm changing my mind to Leonard Williams, who's frequently a guy I mention in this space, and on these preview shows, because he's a guy with such a high profile, and also a guy who he's not having a great year. I think we all know that this has probably been Leonard Williams' worst year in the NFL. And he's a guy who's not always, you can't always, I've said this many times, you can't always judge him based on his stats, because a lot of what he does, a lot of the value he provides doesn't show up in the stat sheet. But this year, I think he's struggled in too many games. Now, he's come on lately in a good game against Buffalo. I thought he had his moments against Tennessee 2 weeks ago. So maybe he's finishing the year strongly at least. But the reason I'm going to Williams, I was going to go with Williamson, Avery Williamson, because of Houston's run game. I think Houston's going to try and establish the run in this game. I think that's kind of what they're going to do offensively. So I was thinking, well, Williamson will have to have a big game. But you know something? The reason I'm switching to Leonard Williams is the Jets have struggled in many games this year against the run, and those have tended to be games where Williams has not played very well. And again, maybe it doesn't always show. Sometimes it still shows up in the stat sheet, but Williams is not a player you can judge entirely by his numbers. A lot of his value is in winning matchups, doing some of the dirty work, drawing double teams, shaded inside. So he's not the type of guy, he's not always the type of guy who's going to post big numbers when he's playing effectively, but there have been too many games this year where he has not played effectively. Where I'm watching, he's getting wiped out on key runs, he's losing his matchups, and it's coming at a bad time for the Jets because it's not really clear what the Jets can do with him. His contract situation is going to be one of the focal points of the next 2 years. Do the Jets give him a new deal? How much is that deal for? And the Jets are making Williams is making the decision really tough on the Jets because he's obviously a pretty good player. I mean, you look at the entirety of his 4-year career, he's a good player. The Jets don't have many good players. But he's not producing at the type of level you'd want from a 6th overall pick. And the question is he going to want to be paid like a star? Because at this point, I don't think you can really say he's a star. So all these dilemmas play into all of this. But for this game, the Jets just need Williams to play effectively because there have been too many games this year where he's losing his matchups. He looks just like an ordinary defensive lineman, and the Jets are getting gashed in the run game. So I'm going with Leonard Williams as my key player on the defensive side of the ball for this game. Jets and Texans, Saturday, MetLife Stadium. We're previewing week 15 of the NFL season, a Saturday game for the Jets. And what was funny is I looked it up, and this is the third time in 4 years the Jets have gotten a Saturday week 15 game. They had a game in 2015 against Dallas, which they won. It was that run they were on, that 5-game winning streak that set them up for a potential playoff berth that they blew week 17 against Buffalo. And then the next year they played a very forgettable game against Miami. Probably the most memorable part of that game was the time Wesley Johnson snapped the ball too early and the offensive line didn't even react. Bryce Petty got crushed. So this will be the third time in 4 years the Jets have a week, just an odd quirk, odd coincidence. The Jets play Saturday game, week 15. Now let's look at some key matchups. And on the offensive side of the ball, I'm going to go with Robbie Anderson against Jonathan Joseph. And a lot of the stuff I said about Trenton Cannon at the top of the show applies to Robbie Anderson. Jets are going to be without some key parts on offense. You're going to have no Isaiah Crowell. You're going to have no Quincy Enunwa. And where are the Jets going to go to for production? I mean, I think in the receiving game, Anderson's the pretty clear case. You think back to the start of the year, all the optimism that was around this receiving core. You had the 4 800-yard receivers, which honestly probably was an overhyped receiving core. Because 800 yards, and first of all, I mean, some of the guys like Terrell Pryor had only done 800 yards once. Second of all, 800 yards is not that impressive, but you look at it, you had Enunwa, Anderson, Pryor, and Jermaine Kearse. You look at that, and really, I think you could say at this point, with the way Enunwa has fallen off, the injuries he's battled, it's been a disappointing year for all four. Anderson's coming off a good game against Buffalo, 4 catches for 76 yards, and I mean, I think he's kind of sliding into what he's going to be this as a player, where he's just going to be a boom or bust guy. He has not had more than 4 catches in a single game all year. And, I think that's what you see is that he's pretty much just, honestly, he's just a deep threat. That's all he really is. He'll chip in. Last week I saw people say, well, look at that. He caught a few passes that weren't deep. Well, it's not literal. It's not that he literally can only catch passes on deep routes. It's that too much of his production comes that way. And that's too much. And when you're that type of receiver, that's going to be very feast or famine for you. You're going to have games where you look great because you catch a deep ball, it really pads the stats. But if you're not catching the deep ball, And those opportunities don't come along very often, must be noted. Those opportunities, you know, you're not going to burn a team deep probably every week, multiple times. Those opportunities don't come around. You know, you're probably not going to be very productive. So that's what Anderson's become, kind of a boom or bust guy. Probably, you know, a supporting player in a good offense, a guy who just keeps the defense honest. That's a deep threat. Well, the Jets are going to need him to produce in this game. They'll need him to replicate. They'll need him to get deep once in this game because, again, this team's going to have a tough time manufacturing offense. So when you're having a tough time moving the chains, I think the Jets probably will in this game against this Houston defense, especially down the players they're down. When you're having a tough time moving the chains, that means you need to hit a big player too, and that's where Anderson comes in. He's probably the closest thing this team has to a home run hitter on offense. So, you know what? I've talked for 2 years about how, you know, he needs to diversify his game. I mean, at this point, I'm not sure it's going to happen. It's certainly not going to happen for week 15 of the season. So, you know, can he get deep once? You know, can he hit one big play? You know, a long touchdown that can help the Jets make up for their lack of talent on offense. You know, the chunk plays, those can make a difference in a game where you're undermanned. So Anderson's the guy I'm looking to. There aren't really many other places you can look on offense. So that's my key matchup. Can Anderson win his matchup against Joseph? Now, on the defensive side of the ball, it's a guy we've talked about plenty this year, Trumaine Johnson against DeAndre Hopkins. I'm assuming that's the matchup he's going to draw. Hopkins is far and away the most productive Texans receiver. Now, they've had some injuries there, but if you look at the numbers, it's very stark how much more production Hopkins has than any other Texans receiver. Johnson is coming off a good game against Buffalo and a good coverage game against Tennessee. Now, I can't say it's a good game overall because he had a key penalty on the game-losing drive and then missed a tackle on the game-losing touchdown. So I can't say it's a good game. But he had a good coverage game against Tennessee. You know, he generally executed his assignments well. So, you know, is Johnson starting to improve over the final stretch of the season as he gets healthy, as he bounces back from an injury? Is he just benefiting from playing teams that don't have much receiving talent? Well, we can start to piece that together a little bit in this game because Deshaun Watson's favorite target is DeAndre Hopkins. So teams are not going to – he's not going to shy away from going to Hopkins. And, again, I'm assuming that this is Johnson's assignments. I'm assuming that Johnson's going to be one-on-one against Hopkins. So if Johnson wins this matchup, it could go a long way towards stalling this Texans offense. It could go a long way towards keeping the Jets in this game and making this an interesting Saturday at the Meadowlands. Whereas if Johnson looks the way he has the rest of the season beyond these last 2 weeks, it could be a very long day for the Jets. I don't think that there's much of a scenario where DeAndre Hopkins has a big game and the Jets can win this game. So I think that Johnson's the key matchup. I mean, it could be like that game. You think back to that game 3 years ago where Hopkins went crazy on Darrell Revis. If it's that type of game for the Texans and for Trumaine Johnson, the Jets are in for a long afternoon at the Meadowlands. We are previewing week 15 of the NFL season, Texans at Jets, Saturday in the Meadowlands. And we're going to go to a key to victory on both sides of the football. Now, on offense, my key to victory, and I'm going again back to that 2015 game the Jets and Texans played. And we talked in the last segment about what DeAndre Hopkins did to Darrell Revis in that Texans win. How about what J.J. Watt did to Breno Giacomini in that game? The Jets, it was a very poor performance by Chan Gailey and coaching staff. They allowed Watt to wreck that game. They left him one-on-one with Giacomini too frequently. So my key to victory is don't do that again. And it's easier said than done because the Texans have a lot of good pieces on that defense, a lot of good pieces on that front, lots of good pass rushers. So you're running danger if you leave Watt alone. You're running danger if you pay too much attention to Watt. You're in danger if you leave Watt alone. It's a tough call, but J.J. Watt's having an excellent season, which is really one of the feel-good stories of the NFL. You know, after the last two seasons, it looked like maybe his career was kind of going sideways. Maybe he's going to be one of those guys who, you know, injuries just caught up with him, and he never really fulfilled, he never was able to sustain the greatness that he showed early in his career over the long haul. It's good to see him back having a good season. You go either way on this because, again, you pay too much attention to Watt, then other guys can beat you. But I just go back to the last, go back to that game in 2015, and I say, man, the Jets can't let that happen again. So don't leave Watt alone. Keep an eye on him, pay him attention, game plan to make sure he's obstructed. And even if that's, it's not always double teaming him. Sometimes it's just making sure the back chips him on the, heading out into the route. The tight ends, getting a hit on him before the tight end releases into the route. Sometimes it's something like that. Just give help, because this offensive line doesn't have pieces that can hold up one-on-one against J.J. Watt. So Jets are going to need to keep an eye on him. Jets are going to need to make sure he's obstructed. And, I think the games New England's played against him, Patriots have taken him out of the game, and they've just made a point to obstruct and make sure he's not getting to the quarterback any way possible, even if it means, one less guy out into his route, even if it means a guy delayed going out into his route, even if it means, the Patriots have, if you watch what the Patriots have done to him in the past, when he's been at his best, Patriots have just totally taken him out of the game. The Patriots essentially say, I don't care how this impacts my offense. J.J. Watt's not going to wreck this game. So they throw the kitchen sink at Watt. I'm not sure the Jets are going to do that in this game, but I think that they need to make sure Watt doesn't wreck. They cannot let Watt do what he did to them in 2015 and just, constantly line people one-on-one up against him, because they can't handle that matchup. And on the defensive side of the ball, my key to victory is going to be essentially do what you did in the second half against Buffalo last week. The first half, guys were a little undisciplined in their blitzes. They got too far upfield. You have to collapse the pocket, but you can't be out of control when you're rushing the passer against the mobile quarterback. But the Jets got a lot of hits, actually an incredible number of pressures last week against Buffalo. If you look at the numbers, they did a great job in the second half. And, I liked what, the blitz packages worked that they threw at Buffalo. So I think you just keep doing what worked, because this is a Houston offensive line that's had its own issues. Early in the year, they were kind of famous for being one of the weaker offensive lines in the game. Things have stabilized a bit, but I want to test this Houston offensive line. I think that's probably the, one of the weaker links on this roster. It's one of the weaker links on this offense. I think you have to try and do what you can. I mean, it's also the Jets' identity, is to try and generate pressure, try and generate busted assignments up front. So, just keep doing what you were doing last week against Buffalo and hope it works. And part of that is going to be Trumaine Johnson playing effective coverage behind the defensive front. Part of it's going to be Leonard Williams having a big game, some of the stuff we talked about earlier in the show. But I think that's kind of the path to victory for the Jets in this game defensively. Just keep doing what you're doing. And if it works, then maybe you got a shot. Well, that's all for our show today. Thanks for listening. This has been the Locked On Jets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network. If you like the show, subscribe, iTunes or Spotify, and please leave the show a good review in iTunes. Hope you have a great weekend. Enjoy the game, and we'll recap it on Monday.